This week is going to lay Pashas Truma, and I'd like to share with you a Dvar Halacha and Inyan HaMachshava on the Parashim. The Dvar Halacha is the Kher Eliyahu, the Gra on Pashas Truma. It has a very nice pshat in a Mishnah. There's a Mishnah in Shkalim and in Tamid, two places, that says that if the pareches ever had to be tivled, if it became tame and it required tefila. So the Gemara is talking about how big the pareches was or how heavy it was, that it would require shalish meis kayanim to tivle. It would require 300 kayanim in order to be able to tivle the pareches. So the Gemara says, 300 kayanim? Tivle the pareches? Kuzmahu. The Gemara says that that's an exaggeration. And in general, in Shas, there are a number of other places where the number 300 is an exaggeration. And it's a number that's used in Shas as a 400 sometimes. We'll see this as an exaggeration. He says 300 is Guzma. The Gemara says it's a Guzma. So the Gra wants to be masber that even when Chazal say it's a Guzma, it's also with a Cheshbon. When they say it's a Guzma, it's also with a Cheshbon. So he makes a Cheshbon his problem. The Gemara is talking about the pareches of the Beis HaMikdash. How big was the pareches? The pareches was mavdil between the Kodesh HaKadosh and the rest of the Heichal. And in the Beis HaMikdash, that was 20 amis across, 20 amis wide, and 40 amis high, 20 by 40. So if the pareches was a curtain that separated between one and the other, we could assume that it was 20 by 40. So now, if you make a cheshbon, how many amis was the perimeter of the pareches all around? So you have four sides. So you have two sides of 20 and two sides of 40, which is 120. So there were 120 amis around the perimeter of the pareches. The Gemara says, Mishnah says, that the Amma in the Beit HaMikdash, they used an Amma bas chamisha tefachim. That all the Klei HaMikdash were made with an Amma bas chamisha tefachim. So if you had 120 amis, and each amis is 5 tefachim, so how many tefachim is it? All the way around the 600 tefachim. Right? So 600 tefachim around the perimeter of the pareches. So now, we'll assume that if they had to table it, as many kainim as would want, would try to chaperai in the mitzvah, would try to have a chelik in the mitzvah. So how many hands, how many, each kain has two hands. How many hands can grab onto the edge of the pareches? Well, if the pareches around the perimeter was 600 tefachim, and each person has two tefachim, who says there's two hands, so it's exactly 300 kainim that could grab onto the pareches at any time. So the guzma is very mitzvah. He didn't need 300 kainim. But the guzma is that up to 300 kainim could grab with two. This is what the gra says. That's the cheshbon for the guzma. It's a guzma anyway, but it's still, that's the cheshbon. This is all this says in the Kher Eliyahu. There's a problem with this. One of them, the Yafei in the back of Sefer Tamid, is the kasha on the gra. The Lechaira, the Gra, is based on faulty mathematics. Because it's true that the clay HaMikdash were made with an Amma of 5 Tefachim. But the binyan based on HaMikdash, all the buildings, the Mishnah says, were Bashesh Tefachim. Any construction, any building was an Amma Bashesh. The Kalim that you talk about, that were made with an Amma Bas Chamisha. The pareches, although you could argue that it's only a keli, but the shear of the pareches is to be mafsik between, in the binyan, in the building, between the Kodesh HaKadoshim and the Heichal. The building was made with amis that were 6 tefachim, not amis that were 5, a normal amis, 6 tefachim. So it's taka true that in the amis hakelim they used 5 tefachim for whatever reason. But the building was an amis of 6 tefachim. So it's a pella on this gra, because if you go, again, 120 amis around, and you now say there's 6 tefachim each, so that gives you 6 tefachim, 120 is whoever's not taking accounting could do it. I started giving shir and shul. I used to have mathematics. I used to call one of the guys who's an accountant. I used to ask him to calculate. It took me a while. I realized that the accountants don't know how to calculate. They only use calculators. Everybody else knows how to do math. I mean, it's a job, you guys. Anyway, nothing personal. So you have 6 tefachim and 120. So 6 times 120 is 720. So now the whole cheshbon is not a good cheshbon. So it's a pella. I mean, the grush made such a mistake. So I saw a suggested teretz, a nice teretz. When somebody answered the Kavanas HaGra, the Gra of course was the Kel Yal was written by Talmidim, but apparently the Talmidim wrote got something wrong. Could be that the Gra wrote the man with the fowl. If you're going for Tevel of Pareches, you can't hold it on all four sides, because as you approach the mikveh, people on one side are going to fall in. Right? You've got to approach it and slowly be able to lower it into this. So on one side, you've got, you know, it's like, I don't know how, but like people are counting an R in, they put it into a car. So it's not, on one side, there has to be nobody, so you can slide it in. So he says like this. He says, really, one side would have to be left without people holding on to it. On three sides, they would hold it. So now, on three sides, it would be 40, 40 and 20. I try to get the maximum number of kinds to participate. So now the numbers work out again. 40 and 40 and 20 is 100. And even if you go now with that Amis HaBinyan, it still works out to 6 Tachim and Amis. It still works out to the same 600. And then the whole Gra makes sense, that the maximum number of Kayanim who could participate with two hands would be 300. And that's the reason for the Guzman. It's a teretz to try to be Miyashe the Kavanas HaGra. It's an idea that the now the question is, all the other guzmais of 300 you have to figure out too. So it's a nice gra to explain Chazal when they use this number. Okay, regarding the building of the Beis HaMikdash, there's a nice, very nice piece in the Yad Gedaliah, which I'd like to share with you and maybe try to have an appreciation of it besides what he writes. But if we have an appreciation, maybe it's something that we can use. Rav Shor writes that in Parshas Truma we have a list of Zav, Kesef, Mechayshet, Chayot, Agamon, etc. that the Mishkan was built with. So with all of these things. In Shir HaShirim, the description of the Beis HaMikdash is, it mentions Teichai Vasa, it mentions Amudasa Vasa Kesef, it had gold, it had silver. And then it says, Teichai Ratzuf Ahava. From within, Ratzuf Pashup Shat means it had a ritzvah, a floor. What was it made of? It was made of Ahava. It was made of love. Rav Shor explains that the main ingredient in the Beis HaMikdash was Ahava. And where is Ahava mentioned? It doesn't say you should bring Ahava. It says, Zav, Kes, Techeish, Tzela, etc. Rav Shor says that that's the idea of may es kol isha sheyedvenu libay tikkus trumasi, that everybody asheyedvenu libay, people have to give, literally it means yedvenu libay, give with your heart, you should give it over entirely. But he says asheyedvenu libay, people have to give their heart, they have to give their ava, they have to give their hergish, they have to give their feeling. The mishkan can only be built to be a mishkan not with the outside gold and silver, but with the nedivas halev. I'm not sure where, I believe it's in the name of the Sfasemis that it said the order, it says Zav, Kesef, Nechayshes. Why this order? It seems to go in the order of Chashivas. Like Zav is the most expensive, then Kesef, then Nechayshes, then Entcheles, then Argaman. But that can't be, because it ends with Avni Shaim and Avni Meluim, which are the most expensive. So it ends with the most expensive, there's something wrong. So he says, Pshat, Why is somebody who gives Zav better than someone who gives Kesef? So what if it's more expensive? The Beis HaMikdash, that's what matters. But the person, Moshe Rabbeinu said, everyone can give whatever they like. The person who gave Zav was obviously giving with more nedivas halev. It's not the gold. But the more you donate to a cause, of course the cause needs the money. But if it's a tzedakah, and you give more money than someone else, that shows that you have more of a hergish to it. You have more nedivas halev. So the psukim go in the order of Nedivas Halev. Zav is the biggest Nedivas Halev, and Keset, and the Chayshet, and the Taylor. Some people just gave goats, a goat here. What are you going to do with goat here anyway, right? So some people didn't have a big Nedivas Halev. The order is in the order of Nedivas Halev. In the order of Nedivas Halev, Avnei Shayim and Avnei Meluim will last. Because the Avnei Shayim and the Avnei Meluim, you know, felt the Nesim and Hashemayim. Some of you have felt it was given to them specifically to give to them into the Mishkan. So that goes last. That was the smallest amount of Nedivas Halev. So that the order of Chashivas is the more Nedivas Halev a person had, the more Ava he had, the more Hergish he had, the more Chashiva went to the Beis HaMikdash. So it wasn't that order. Zav, Keset, the Chashiv, the Chayla, Zagon, and then the Avnei Shayim last.
I have a lot of gold. It's not even Nedivas Halev for me to give any gold.
Could be some people were richer and some people were poorer. First of all, the Chazal say that when they left Mitzrayim, everybody had gold and silver. Everybody was interested in gold and silver, had gold and silver. And second of all, even then, you're right, rich people can give a larger amount to show less Nedivas Halev. But you still have to have some criteria which to set your basic rule. So the basic rule is that the more a person is willing to give, the more it shows Nedivas Halev. It may be true that there are exceptions to that. There are other factors. But the point is that the Beis HaMikdash required a Nedivas Halev, required a giving for the sake of people participating. Just like Matan Torah was not possible until it was Ki'ish Echad B'Lev Echad, just like it could not be Mekabel the Torah until Kal Yisrael had a feeling of Achdus, of Ahava Zelazah. The same thing, the Mishkan could not be built unless there was a feeling, there was a sense of Ava, there was a sense of togetherness among the people. The Kula the Chula Mekadlum Aleihem O Malchus Shemayim Zemi Zeh. The nice to be Ava Rishozel Zeh. Ma'atish the Yisrael and Achasura. That there has to be nice to be Ava. There has to be a certain sense of Ava between the people. And when there's a sense of an Ava, then that Ava could create Beis HaMikdash, could create a place where the Mikdash is Shaira, where the Shechina is Shaira, a place where the Shechina rests. But there's a requirement that there be this Ava. Rav Shua writes that the Mafsid to Ava is a feeling. Every person has a feeling of individuality. Everybody's a separate individual. What he calls anoichius. Everybody has a me feeling. Every single person. And look, what's most important to each of us is what we do. Every person is. Everybody is concerned about himself, and a person's self is the most important thing to a person. A person wants to be happy, doesn't want to have pain, wants to be satisfied, wants to eat, wants to drink, wants to get a ride, whatever it is. The anoichi of a person is a very strong thing in a person, but that's a hevdol, that's mavdol between a person and others. Ava requires someone to overcome the anoichius, the individual concern about yourself. And if you overcome that concern about yourself and you take into account other people, that's Ahava. That's what was required for the Beis HaMikdash. All Nedavos require that. Giving always requires caring about other people. The key to this is Rav Shimon in his Akdama to Shari Yasher says that people have a mistake in understanding how to work an Ahava. Every person has Ava for himself more than anyone else. But people feel that if you want to have love for someone else, you've got to overcome the feeling of self-love. You want to keep the money for yourself, someone's asking you for money. So you have to overcome that, and that's how you develop Ava for others. Rav Shimon says that that's an unnatural way of doing it. You could try to do it that way, but it's not a way. It goes against human nature to do that. It's a struggle every single time. The correct way to feel Ava for someone is not to squelch the feeling of individuality, of anoichi, but faker, to broaden it. To feel that other people are included in the anoichi. What does that mean? If a person gets married, a person has children, a person cares about his wife and his children, is that a stira to the anoichi? Not for most people. The anoichi gets broadened to include person's children. He doesn't see as separate from himself. He cares about them, and part of caring for himself is that he cares about his wife and his kids. It's a broadening of the anoichi. So it's not a struggle every single time. It's not a struggle every time it's part of him. Part of the anaychi, which is natural, is to include other people in the anaychi. And that avoda doesn't require, if a person can broaden the sense of anaychi, the feeling of myself, to include others, then it's not a struggle every time to be willing to give to others and to help others. Rav Shimon says pshat in the Mishnah, im eina nili, nili. The Mishnah says, im eina nili, nili. I have to worry about myself. The Torah says, chayecha kayin. So im eina nili, nili. If I don't take care of myself, no one's going to take care of me. But, kisha ani la'atzmi, ma'ani. But my whole ani is just me, myself, ma'ani, that I'm a nothing. I'm just worrying about myself. And I'm missing in the Tayala Sabriya, which is for a person to broaden the sense of anaychi, the sense of me, to make it feel that it includes others, it includes other things. And that's the avoda of Mikumei Et Kol HaShashi Yezvenu Levi. There has to be a sense of anaychi which included all of Klal Yisrael. That's the job on the basis of the Mishkan. Now if you ever go to a Sheva Brachis during Parshas Truma or Tetzava or Kisisa or Vayakel or Pikudei, usually by Yikra also, they still talk about Pikudei. And every Sheva Brachis, you'll notice, they talk about the fact that the Parshas about the Mishkan, oh, how appropriate it is because Chas V'Shalom, like building a Mishkan, right? But there was every Sheva, but there was a Sheva Brachis the other day. Anybody listen to the speeches? I don't know. But usually, I mean, that's the normal thing to say. Anytime it's anywhere near the Mishkan, you talk about the fact that the Mishkan, everybody's house is like a Mishkan, we don't have a base of Mishkan. Which is, of course, true. This Nekuda of Teichai Ratzav Ahava is something a person has to appreciate in his home also. Teichai Ratzav Ahava, a person gets married, a single guy is selfish. Some people are more selfish and some people are less selfish. But the sense of anaychi, when a person is born, he knows only himself. We say a cotton only has the Yetzer Hara. What does it mean? It's not fair. A cotton only has the Yetzer Hara, not the Yetzer Tov. Because when a cotton is born, a cotton only knows what he needs. You take a baby that's 2 months old, the baby doesn't know about anybody else in the world. The baby only knows what the baby needs. The baby's hungry, the baby cries. It doesn't matter if the mother's tired. And as you grow up, hopefully, your horizons start to broaden. You realize there are other people in the world. It takes a long time. A person by nature is selfish. Just like a baby only knows what he wants to eat, not what other people need to eat. The same thing, a human being, normally, as you grow up, it takes a while to realize there are other people. So slowly you learn. You learn slowly. There are other people in the world. You have to care about other people. But generally, it's an avoda of overcoming the anaychi. I need something. So everyone's at a chasna. I need a ride home from the chasna. So I try to get a ride. I know someone else needs a ride, so I go quickly and try to get it ahead of him. I try to ask somebody before he asks, because I'm worried more about myself than about him. Right? If I know I need a ride and a friend needs a ride, and if someone has one empty seat, so I go quickly, I run over to him and I ask for the seat. Why? Because I'm concerned more about myself than about him. Now that's called being selfish. But chayecha kaimen, that you're allowed to. I mean, it's not a chayecha. It's not a good leader, but it's, you're allowed to do it. Chayecha kaimen, so you take care of yourself. So most people, everybody starts out selfish, because every baby is selfish. And some people have babies until a long time. Say 13, you start getting a yetzer hara, you start knowing there are other people. It's not really, suddenly, you get a yetzer hara, doesn't mean yetzer hara goes away. So there's still a feeling of me ahead of everyone else, of just me. So there are times when you have the yetzer hara gets a hold of you and you actually do someone else a favor that's hard for you. So you actually do things that are difficult for you. You actually go out of your way for someone or give someone things slowly. That's the avaida. It's a big avaida. But the selfishness is still there. And every time it's a struggle. Every time you have to go out of your way to do someone a favor, it's a struggle. That doesn't go easily. And then a person gets married. And in married life, you continue to have that same struggle, then you're in trouble. Because Teichai Ratzav Ahava, a home, doesn't matter how much Kesef and Zav it has or it doesn't have. Teichai Ratzav Ahava, what makes a home, the is the base of the home, the ritzvah, the floor of the home, the inside, the foundation of the home, is Ahava. Now, if you're still going to be the way you were in yeshiva, worried about yourself mostly, and every once in a while being kind to someone else and doing someone a taiva, it's not going to wash in married life. It's not going to wash in married life. Because in married life, you can't one day be in the mood to do a favor and one day not in the mood. Or the Teichai Rats of Ava is Me'ed Kalisha Shiyatan Olibai. A person has to broaden the Anaichi, has to broaden the feeling, the selfishness, which everybody has. You've got the person has to include his wife in his selfishness. He has to include his children within his selfishness, within the Anaichi. It's got to include members of your family. And if it doesn't include them, then there's going to be a hard, there's going to be a problem. The word ratzof could mean a ritzvah, a floor. And ratzof also is a, the pasuk in Yeshaya, the other ratzof is a hot coal. Ratzof is also a hot coal. So Shor writes that Teichai ratzof ahava, it's got to be a, he writes in Yiddish, the abrenedika ahava. It's got to be real. It can't be just, you're overcoming now, you're going to squelch and you're going to do something for, it's got to be a natural ahava. It's got to be something which drives you, which is not difficult. And that comes from a broadening of the anaichi, of the self. That means that if one day you're in the middle of doing something which you're busy with, and your wife calls, and she needs help with something, she got a flat. So a husband jumps up and he runs to help his wife change a flat. So flat is a halbitzara. You know, it can happen to anybody, you get a flat. What happens if she locked herself out of the house? What happens if she locked herself out of the house? Now it's her fault. How does the husband react? So it depends. It depends if you know what Ahava is. Most people react. They're very upset that they have, that their wife locked herself out of the house, and they have to get up from whatever they're doing and go and help. But, you know, husband has to do it. So you struggle against, you really have a selfish feeling, you don't want to do it. And you go and do it anyway. So what type of funim does it have? So it has an inappropriate funim. When you come to your wife and she's locked out, so you make her feel like a shlomazel, and you are upset inside, but you can't say anything. But somebody who broadens the anaichi has a different attitude. A person should have an attitude that if something happens to your wife, it gives you an opportunity to come through for her. That's what marriage is about. It gives you an opportunity to go out of your way for her. To show ahava. That's how you show ahava. Showing ahava isn't just saying, expressing ahava. Showing ahava is doing it. A person who happily gets up and helps and goes to help, that's what it's all about. So that's broadening the anaichi. You don't feel bad doing it. If you yourself get a splinter in your fingers, you pull it out. You're not angry. I mean, you might be angry you got a splinter, but you're not angry at yourself. That's the ahava that has to be. That's the teichai rots of ahava, which has to exist for a house to work. Otherwise, there's a struggle every day. There's friction every day. If you want to overcome that, there shouldn't be friction. You have to reach a level where it's not a friction. It's not a friction. Just like when you help yourself, it's not a friction. So when you help your wife, it's not a friction. That's the avoda of the Mishkan. May eighth kalisha she admit a little. You have to give happily. You have to give it with a giving of yourself. The truth is that that's the smallest level, the lowest level. If you picture an archery board, where you have a center and you have the circles all around, so you're in the middle. That's me. The smallest circle is to include your wife in the me. There are bigger and bigger circles, depending on how much your avodas Hashem is. A person can include other relatives in his anaichi, can include friends, can include talmidei chachamim, can include Klal Yisrael. The Mishkan is not only a married home as compared to a Mishkan, but a yeshiva is compared to a Mishkan too. I shouldn't say too. Yeshiva probably more than anything is compared. The Beis HaKnesses and the Beis HaMedrash is also compared. It has to be a Teichai Ratzof Ahava there also. In Chavashat, there has to be a Teichai Ratzof Ahava as well. Yeshiva is not just a place to come together, to be in the same building and learning. But the Chavashat requires also a taichei rotsa fa'ava, a feeling, a broadening of the anaisi, to include chaveirim, to include other people. The more of a gadva you are, the more you can include people in the anaisi. And that's part of avodas Hashem. It's more, it's as much mitzvah as it is musar. Shulchan Aruch says that, as you know, it's also to speak during Berachas Kriya Shema. During Berachas Kriya Shema, you know, I speak. We pass in that Beinah Prokim of Berachas Kriya Shema. If you're in the middle of this davening, so Beinah Prokim of Berachas Kriya Shema, you're allowed to say Shalom Aleichem to an Adam Nichbad, someone that it's normal to have kavod to. U'meishiv shalom l'chol adam. And you're allowed to answer shalom to anybody. That means in the middle of Berachas Kriya Shema, if someone comes over to you and he says good morning, you know Berachas Kriya Shema. I mean, even people who talk during lightning don't talk, that's a shot, I don't think, because it depends where you're davening. But during Berachas Kriya Shema, I think people don't talk. First of all, who has time to talk? They're going so fast that you can't, but people don't talk then. Yet, the Mishnah says, the Mechaber says, if someone says Shalom Aleichem to you, so you clearly just nod your head, right? But you're allowed to answer, good morning. Why? Let me tell you. Are you allowed to answer Amen? Neina Prokim of Berachas Kriya Shema? Mishnah Berurah brings a machlokes chayyadim Rabbi Akiva Eiger. If you're allowed to answer a regular Amen, Amen Yeshmei Rabba and Baruch Hu, you could answer even in the middle of Berachas Kriya Shema. A regular Amen is a mutter to answer in the middle of Berachas Kriya Shema. In the middle of the bracha, the chazan says, Chesima, are you allowed to answer Amen? Bein HaProkim, not in the middle, Bein HaProkim. So it's a machlokes. Therefore, Lamaisa, if you're Bein HaProkim and the chazan is getting to an Amen, you should immediately, quickly start the next bracha so you don't fall into the machlokes. So Lamaisa, it's a chalukei dayim. But Hagava Asmacha, to answer Amen, Bein HaProkim, is a machlokes of Akiva Eiger Chayyad. And to answer good morning, not to an Adam Nichbad, L'chol Adam, is mutter. Think about what that means for a minute. And to answer Baruch Hu Baruch Shema is certainly answer. A Baruch Hu is certainly answer, Bein HaProkim. And to say good answer, good morning, to someone says good morning to you, that's mutter Bein HaProkim. What does that mean? That means that answering good morning to someone who says good morning to you is more than answering Amen, at least according to some Paiskim. It's marvel, right? Mishnah Berurah has a shiloh. Am I allowed to say good morning to you, Bein HaProkim, knowing that now you're going to have to answer? Mishnah Berurah brings some Paiskim that that's also mutter. Even though I'm going to cause you to be mafsik Bein HaProkim. Seems like Chazal put a certain great amount of importance in saying hello to people, say good morning to people, which I noticed many guys are very mafsik during Seder to Mahadir. But the point I'm making, I should mention to you, the Mishnah Berurah says that if a person who says good morning to you is a Talmud Chacham and he didn't realize you're in the middle of davening, he'll realize right away, so you don't have to answer him because he'll understand, says the Mishnah Berurah. As far as the Lamaisa. But the point I'm trying to make is that the Chavashat between people, between Yidden, is considered in a Chazal a Chayiv Gamor. A Chayiv Gamor. The Gemara says in Brachas, if someone says good morning to you and you don't answer him, you have a Din Gazlan. So it could be a Sinagad in the Gemara. Maybe it's not so literal, but it's a Shulchan Aruch. That Berachas Kriya Shema. So the same thing by before davening. You're not allowed to go over to someone, not go out of your way to go over to someone to say good morning or Shalom Aleichem. And yet if someone says to you, you're mechuyav to answer. Chazal put a tremendous importance in Chavashat. And it is very important that within the form or within the structure of the yeshiva, that there be a chavashat in the things that take place in the yeshiva, that there be a togetherness, that there be a teichei rotsa fa'ava. It's an important part of avoda. In our communities, it's an avla that many communities, you know, usually a community starts off when they're young, they make fun of everyone else, but they don't say hello, they don't say good Shabbos. and we do. And then that community gets big and they also don't do it, right? And someone else comes along and makes fun of them. But the truth is that now there's a in the Igreis of Rav Huttner, they printed what he said when Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz passed away. Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz apparently and Rav Huttner had some close personal relationship. So it says there, it says that this is not a hefbit, it's just what was going through his mind. He spoke about friends. Rav Huttner said that the word reya, or friend, is related to the word trua. A trua is a broken coil. A coil that's broken. Pieces. It says reya, a friend, is a piece. Every person needs chaverim, needs to feel friendly with other people, needs to have a chavisha. Really, every person's a broken piece. When you take a few pieces together, you take the trua, you take the pieces together, you can create a oneness. This idea is very similar to Rav Shimon Zisai. Now, real chavashaft is not to squelch your anaychi and do someone a taivun. That you do for a stranger. But chavashaft is to include someone in the shleimus of the person, in the anaychi. That's the word reya. Rav Huttner doesn't write this, but obviously you all understand that if reya is from a sense of broken pieces, the word chaver would come from mechuber or mechaber, is to connect. It fits in beautifully with this whole concept. So the Teichai Ratzuf Ava of the Mishkan, the Eis Kalisha, she had been a Levi, was a tremendous Avaida. It wasn't stam giving. It was giving, a person has to give, Yasa Yasa, the Gemara says, a person has to give well. He has to give B'lev Shalem, he has to give totally. She had been a Levi. If a person wants to be successful in creating whatever Mishkan we can create today, in a home, or in a yeshiva, or in a shul, there has to be a certain sense that chavershaft, friendship, is not just something that's nice to have in the world, it's not a nice thing, but it's something which is toichai ratzof ava, it's something which is the foundation of everything else. The selfishness with which we are all born has to be overcome if you want to bring kedusha. The reshachanti v'saicham only comes if a person can overcome the selfishness which is natural to everybody. That's a tremendous chaylik in the Avaida. And it's not an easy thing. But that's the Veshachanti B'Saychem. That's when the Kaddish Baruch Hu comes together. That's Merum is. We all know, also from Sheva Brachas Taira, that Ish and Isha, you take the Yud from the Ish and the Hay from the Isha, right? So you have Hashem, Shrech, and Vinayat. The same idea, that the Ish and Isha, they can't feel like two people who are nice to each other. It's a separate Yud and a separate Hay. There has to be the Anaychi, there has to be the togetherness, the oneness. The fact that a person, whatever selfishness a person has, should be to him and his wife, or him and his wife and his kids, or him and his wife and his chaverim, it should all be included in the Anaychi, in the overcoming of the selfishness. So this is Rav Shor's thought on the Eitz Kalisha, she has been a Levi. I think it's something which if we appreciate, it would make Bein Adam L'Chaver a lot easier. Because some people are just selfish and they overcome it every time. They're like the big tzaddikim. It goes against their grain and they're nice to people. In other words, really they're mean people. But Hashem said you have to be nice, so they're nice. But it's hard to do it that way. It's much better to just be a nice person, to teach yourself, to train yourself, to include other people in the things that matter to you. And that's the avodah of the Teichai Ratzof Ava. Good Shabbos.